B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
Most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
I just came here to help your rating.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Cardona will snap it back. Bailey turns to Cardona. The snap in place. Swing of the right leg. Kick driven to the uprights. The kick is good.
Got it.
Bolt does it again. His second game winner of the season. And the Patriots prevail at the buzzer over Arizona by a 20-17 final.
You have life. Boy, do you have life.
Final hour, Felger and Mass here on a re-entry Monday presented by East Boston Savings Bank. We're, as a show, brought to you by DraftKings, both on 98.5 The Sports Hub and NBC Sports Boston with the simulcast. When you think about it, Mass, that was a ridiculous win. I told you, Murray, after the Patriots beat the Jets in that stupid game a month ago, I laughed my ass off. I was laughing even harder yesterday. That's a game the Patriots had no business winning. No business winning. They were about to get run out of the stadium in that game. And somehow, the next thing you know, they're up in the fourth, blowing it, and then getting it back because Arizona just not ready to win that ball game. And somehow, the Patriots get a win, and they do stay alive.
Yeah, to me, I thought the Jets one was still more ridiculous. And plus, I was more dug in at that time that they should be losing a game like that to improve their draft status. Yesterday, I just felt like you saw that pants crapping you see from these young up and coming coaches, like you saw with Sean McVay in the Super Bowl a few years ago. You saw that happening with Cliff Kingsbury. That team is undisciplined offensively. They can't get into any kind of rhythm. He coached scared when he tried to go for it. I thought at fourth and one at the end of the first half, should have taken the points there. You're getting the ball to start the second half. He was inconsistent when he had fourth and one late. Trots out that idiot kicker who you knew was going to miss it. I just think he was shook. That team wasn't ready for that moment. He still looks across the field and sees Bill Belichick, and he crapped his pants. I think that's what happened. So even though Cam Newton was horrific yesterday, the Patriots defense was legit. They schemed up well for Kyler Murray. And because of the defense and because of the special teams, they rightfully won. The Jets one was ridiculous. That one yesterday, like, if you just look at that from the defensive standpoint and special teams, like, they were the rightful winners of that game.
I mean, you know what? I don't agree with that. They completed 9 passes. 9? You can't. This is 1963. They completed 9 freaking passes for 83 yards or 84 yards. Their quarterback had a 23.6 rating.
As
you had a great stat earlier, when's the last quarterback to win with the quarterback rating of 23.6 or lower?
Mark Sanchez, 2012. It's been 8 years in the league since somebody has played that poorly with that low of a rating and won the game. And so factor that in, 84 yards, bad quarterback rating. The Arizona Cardinals had the ball for more than 8 minutes more than the Patriots did. The Cardinals ran almost 20 more plays. I think it was 19. The Cardinals outgained you by more than 100 yards. You had 179 yards of offense. 179. And no small fact here. The Cardinals won the turnover battle. And they still lost the game.
You did not have a single scoring drive that started on your side of the field. You needed less than a half a field on all your scoring drives, as you pointed out, Maz. 46, 35, 31, and 33 yards.
Yep.
Those were the lengths of your scoring drives in this ball game. No freak, and never mind the jabroni missing the 47-yard field goal on perfect
45.
Conditions. 45, excuse me. He made from 47 when it wasn't on the line. He misses from 45, and then they hit you out of bounds, or, you know, not even out of bounds. You get this late hit call, this roughing call. It was a complete freaking gift. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, look, the yardage numbers don't reflect the kick return by Moncrief and the punt return by Olszewski. Okay, so you can certainly say the Patriots set themselves up with some special teams play, and obviously Folk made the field goal to win the game from 50. So your guy made the kick, you had a couple of big returns, but that was really it. I mean, and, the defense played well, too. I don't want to take away from the defense because I thought it was the best game of the year for the front seven. And they were a factor in the game. And the game plan was very, very good to keep Murray in the middle of the field. And if he was going to run, he was going to get hit going up the middle. But they had no right winning the game. None.
Frankly, I thought the Pats were going to win a lot of games like this year. Not that it's any kind of formula that you want to bank on, completing 9 passes and winning a football game. But just overall, generically speaking, I thought the Pats would win a boatload of games this year because there would be teams that come in here that just weren't ready to beat you. It's plain and simple. And Arizona, it turns out to be one of those teams. And you got a few breaks, and I just thought you'd have more than a couple of those kind of wins this year. But maybe they're coming at the end. Maybe they're coming at the end here, Murray. They've won 3 or 4. Are you aware of that?
Yes, I am. Yep.
Okay, I'm just...
Yep.
And Mike, just quickly, when you say that you thought they'd win games like that, I think a lot of people thought they had the chance to. But typically, you don't do that and turn the ball over twice while the other team turns it over once.
That's true.
So it usually requires taking care of the football and not making mistakes. And yet the Patriots made their share of mistakes, too. They turned it over twice and they committed some penalties.
Yeah, the phrase, winning a game they had no business winning. Like, I just feel the Pats are that kind of team again, or they, ideally are. I thought they would be, and they were yesterday anyway. So we'll see what that means here going forward. There's a little Patriots reset for you. Let's go back to your phone calls. Copy is in Nashua. Go ahead, Copy.
Hey, I'm just wondering, why was the booth reviewing the play at the end of the half when a touchdown wasn't called? And not only that, Bill had his guys in the locker room like they were ready to be the challenge flag. I don't understand why that was, they were looking for a touchdown. It just didn't make any sense to me.
Copy. That's a nice question. Was that an official review? They usually put it on the game sheet. I'm going to look at it right now. So it was not officially... Oh, yeah, no, it does, yeah. The replay official reviewed short of the goal line ruling the play was upheld. I thought...
Is it the final 2 minutes?
Yeah,
final two minutes of the half?
Yeah.
So is that what that is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they will review a near touchdown inside of 2 minutes, but if it's outside of 2 minutes, you have to throw the challenge flag.
Yes. And speaking of which, can I ask you guys what you thought of Bill's challenge flag on the DeAndre Hopkins clear catch?
Great one. Horrible.
What was he thinking?
Horrible decision.
That felt like desperation at that time. And I'll say early, for the coaching staff, they didn't have a good day early. Again, 12 men on the field, and then he challenges that play. It was like, whoa, you guys are out to lunch.
Nice, Murray. Thank you. I think Ernie's had a bad year. Between the timeouts or the clock or the replay, that's all Ernie. I think he's had an up-and-down year, to be kind. Because that wasn't even that high leverage of a situation, was it?
No.
I'm trying to go back and piece it together exactly when it was. It may have been on Arizona's long touchdown drive in the third quarter. But still, it's like, I don't know. I'm not sure that was a gotta-have-it kind of replay. And it did cost you a timeout, and that almost came back to haunt you there at the end. I think it did. It's a good point. Here is Gary in Stoughton. I'll jump him because he wants to weigh in on the Celtics. I want to mix this in. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, hi, guys. I just want to clear up something. You had mentioned, about the Haywood sign and trade. They have to use this $28 million and change in a trade. It's not free agent money. So maybe they could do a sign and trade, but they can't, sign a free agent and Bradley Beal or whomever. They have to make a trade, and they have to make a trade within a calendar year.
Okay, right. But yes, Gary, as I explained, though, a lot of free agent signings are actually technically sign and trades. When LeBron went from Cleveland to Miami that first time, it was technically a sign and trade. Happens all the time. Gordon Hayward being signed as a free agent in Charlotte has actually become a sign and trade. So you can sign someone as a free agent, but it becomes a sign and trade. And that's just...
So,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, think of it in these terms. It's a store credit. Like, you got to use it in the store, which means in a trade. You can't just go and spend it anywhere. It's got to be used in a sign and trade.
But again, in the NBA, these free agent signings all the time are dressed up as trades. And so I don't even think it's that difficult to do that. So I am going to put that on the table for, let's dream. Let's get goofy. Giannis, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard in the offseason. Why not? It doesn't make much sense to use it this year. Have you read Brian Robb in Boston Sports Journal today, Maz?
I have not.
Do you want your head to explode?
Yeah, by all means. Why not?
Okay. So
no, a lot of people would like to see my head explode.
In the NBA, there's a soft cap, right? It's a soft cap. There's exceptions. You can go over with certain rights and certain exceptions and all this stuff. But there is a hard cap, and you can put yourself in what's called a hard cap. You ready? Going to be, Rob, but by giving Tristan Thompson the full mid-level exception in free agency, that automatically triggers the apron, which is a hard salary cap that is $6 million higher than the luxury tax line, which is 132. So you get that? Because they gave Tristan Thompson the full mid-level, that triggers the apron, which is a hard salary cap $6 million higher than the luxury tax line. Currently, the Celtics are well short of that apron line, roughly $22 to $23 million, even after they officially signed Thompson and Jeff Teague. But some quick math shows that bringing aboard any player making $21 million or more using the trade exception won't be doable as the roster currently stands, since it would put Boston over the hard cap. So they can't even make a big move with that trade in the near term because of the apron.
No, and believe it or not, I actually called up the story while you were talking, so I understand it. I understand the logic. But you know what? That's okay. I don't want them making the deal during the season. I would rather they have this at their disposal in free agency to go land a big fish, because any guy you acquire in the middle of the season is going to be, you know, somebody on a bad deal that you don't necessarily want anywhere. I'd rather wait.
And by the way, as I mentioned earlier, them being out of the luxury tax, it's sort of like baseball. There's like a reset line. If you're in the tax so many years, then you go over another line and become another category of team, which makes it hard for you. So like baseball, Maz, a lot of these teams want to reset their luxury tax. The years are in the luxury tax. And this is the year, apparently, for the Celtics. They want to stay out of the luxury tax this year. So that exception, I don't think is this year. I don't, which may be a good thing, may not. I mean, maybe they're knocking at the door again this year, and Danny sits on his hands at the trade deadline again, and they come up just a little short. That would be frustrating. So maybe, you know, but then again, maybe it's better served for free agency next year when there are some real big fish on the market. You know, it's hard to see how that's played out, but. Again, I'll just say the only thing I do know is that how it has all played out is that other than the Tatum and Brown picks, nothing else has really worked the way you had thought. I'll give you a half on Marcus Smart. You've made 2.5 really impactful draft picks. The rest of it has sort of been comings and goings that haven't tilted the needle or made a difference. So Danny's overdue to have something work out other than, you know, those two picks.
Well, and so, Mike, just all this info in the Brian Robb story, too, it does sort of lend credence to the idea that this is part of the reason they didn't want to make the deal with Indiana. Like, you know, because on the one hand, you hear
Turner
that they wanted
tax.
Right. Like, I there had to be a financial component there. Because, again, if they had made the deal and, you know, and done it as a sign and trade, they would have ended up with basically $25 million in salary on the books in Miles Turner and McDermott. And now they're probably going to end up with half of that with Jeff Teague and Tristan Thompson. So there was obviously a money factor there.
So just finally, quickly, B-Rob said, if you're out there and you followed this, then, you know, God bless you. You're better than I am, because I wouldn't have been able to do it. It's just in front of me. B-Rob says the middle ground, then, is to use some of that trade exception this year for a player in the $10 to $20 million a year range, because that will keep them under the tax. So you can use a portion of this trade exception. But do you want them to do that? Because then they couldn't use the full money for a real free agent next offseason.
No.
Don't you want to sort of save it so they can fire all their guns for one of those big names?
Yeah, I want the big fish. And yeah, the other thing is you have a couple of other small exceptions this year. One is for Enes Kanter. That's like $5 million. And there's another $2 million there. So go find yourself a bench player, a role player, and, you know, work your magic. Make the right evaluation and go get yourself a player who will make a contribution, get him cheaply, preserve that whole exception, so that the Hayward exception, so that you can use it in the market next summer.
Okay, sorry for all the minutia. Too many details, way too detail-oriented here for Felger and Maz. Let's get back to slinging just sort of broad-based crap. Coming up next with the quarterback situation here in New England, don't go anywhere.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Ever wonder where Felger and Maz get all their inside information?
I heard from a guy at a cocktail party.
Always relying on their credible sources. Felger and Maz, the show to come to when sports news breaks.
Oh!
1 minute in, the Pats are going left to right with a third and six from the near hash. Izzo split to the right, three receivers wide to the left, with White off the right hip of Newton, who points with his left index finger to set the protections. Cardinals show blitz. They come with an extra rusher. Contact as the ball flutters highly air. It's intercepted by Golden. He picks it off at the line of scrimmage, and he has it at the 23. Either a fumble with the ball knocked out of the hand of Newton, or an interception for Golden, who a year ago scored a touchdown here as a New York Giant.
That's on Cam. Pressure's coming from the right side. He feels it. You know they're coming. They even shade over to the right side. You know, he gets unblocked between the right guard and right tackle, but it's still going to be quicker out. It's got to be a little sense of urgency there. That's pressure. That's pressure game. Third and four. They're man across the board. They're in their face. You know they're coming.
So that's Scott Zolak. He was all over Newton yesterday. Put that first interception squarely on his shoulders. Got to get rid of the ball or pick it up or slide protection or something. Something that's just obvious to a layman like me on the couch. So the Cam Newton conversation, I think we all agree the thing that we like most about him here is that he has fit in off the field. He's been a good teammate. He's been selfless, not selfish. We haven't gotten any of the diva. He's been accountable, been a good teammate. And a good leader and all of that. Like, I think everyone would agree with that. He's been a good, nice fit.
All of that. Self-deprecating, too. Owning his mistakes. Sometimes almost to a point of like, all right, we get it. But overall, like, off the field, I think he's been great there.
Yeah, like a revelation, almost. You know? Really nice. So I think we all agree with that. The problem is he kind of sucks on the field.
Kind of.
What's your least favorite thing about his game, Miss?
I mean, to me, it's the stuff, I would say just the decision making, and I include everything in that pre-snap, middle of the play, you know, being able to decipher a defense, make the right read, make the right throw. I just don't think that he's a fit for this offense. And it was a concern I had from the beginning. The fit was the question. If you go all the way back into the offseason, we all said, how is this going to fit on the field and off? It just doesn't feel like a fit. And it's turned out that on the field, it's not. He's just not a fit for their offense.
That he can't do the most basic things. His timing in the pocket is just wretched. I think it was the second sack. It's like, dude, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Finds it. Sacked. Like, how many of those? Like, he's just in the pocket forever trying to find someone. It's like, sometimes just dump it off or throw it away. And he can't even dump it off because it's usually at someone's feet. He can't do the basic things correctly. And I don't know if that means he's washed up or hurt, but he just can't play the position right now.
There's really not much to like. I mean, other than some short yardage, you know, goal line running situations, what has he been good at?
Nothing.
I mean, his short ball is scary bad. I mean, he
skipping
just
rocks at the lake.
Oh my God, horrible! They don't complete hardly anything down the field. He's had maybe three or four balls over the top all season long. Okay, he's no longer explosive. It's not like he's a big play threat on the ground. He'll pick up, you know, three or four here or there, and you can quarterback sneak him and all of that, but he's not explosive anymore. So what does he do? I think he's gotten a little – he's had some success throwing into the second level, but not yesterday. Yesterday, he could barely hit the broadside of a barn. Oh, he threw some balls into the second level that were so bad yesterday. So what has he done? So to me, it's – But the biggest thing is, I just think if you blitz him, he's kind of porked. He's torched. Yeah. He can't pick it up. He can't adjust protection. He doesn't get rid of the ball quick enough. And he's no longer, you know, he no longer has high-end elusiveness where he can dance around or outrun it. So then what is he? He's a sitting duck back there who doesn't throw the ball very well.
Yeah, and again, and it's not like he's protecting the ball either, right? Between You know, the negative plays and the interceptions, all of it. I mean, there's really not much of an ability to manage the game at all. And so I just, the only things you can say every once in a while is that he can pick up a first down with his legs. But the rest of it, I told you, I'm ready to pull the plug right now. I don't want Cam Newton back here next year. I don't think that, I don't want to see the Patriots invest anything more in him. Now, I will acknowledge that Bill's going to leave him in there so long as they still have a chance. And they do mathematically. But if they get to the last, you know, call it month of the year and they're out of it, oh, play Stidham. Let's just see what it looks like with a full week of prep and game plan around the kid and all of it. Like, let's just get a look so we can have some sort of clue. Because I don't think Stidham can play based on what we've seen. But I would like to know, I would like to make certain of that before we pull the plug.
Well, at the end of the fourth quarter yesterday, where the Patriots were letting the clock bleed and just being really conservative with that last drive, that again got helped out with the Cam Newton run and late hit. It's the only reason you were able to kick that field goal. It's not like the Pats were pushing it on the clock. Scott Zolak had heard enough here on the broadcast with Bob Sosa on 98.5thesportshub.com. He said it was time to bench the quarterback. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, this is about game five. I used to do those MIAA high school games, you know, first week in December. And we'll get to about game five where we get a little loopy. And there's a tie game, and there's like only 2 minutes left. And you got the high school team huddling. A little sense of urgency. Do you not believe in what you are offensively? Then you need to make drastic changes. I'm talking next week. I mean, if you can't put it in this guy's hands 12 weeks in and tell him, go run a two-minute drill, put Stidham in and turn a team over to him.
And again,
because this is embarrassing.
Okay.
I loved it because they were playing for overtime at that point.
They were-ish, you know. I mean, they were, you know, basically. Their whole approach was, if anyone is going to be kicking a long 50-plus-yard field goal at the buzzer, it's us. We are not going to allow Arizona to have the ball long enough to be put in that situation. We may do it, you know, but the long Newton run was on 3rd and 13, right? So, to your point, Murray, it's not like they were throwing for it there. They were more than willing to... You know, just, well, I mean, not even Newton would have run out of bounds there. You know, that maybe that's a hidden thought in that whole play, that if he had run out of bounds, that would have stopped the clock, put him in fourth down, and you would have may have had to punt with a not running clock. That was kind of a stupid play by Newton, now that I think about it.
You're talking about the one at the end of the game now, right?
Yeah,
that Simmons hit him on the sidelines where he got the extra 15 yards.
Yeah, so he gained 14 on the play, so I think he had the first down.
Okay, so he would have had the first down by that point. By the time he got, but I think he was going out of bounds either way. Well, maybe he just knew. You know, if he goes out of bounds past the marker, he's okay. All right, so maybe I take that back immediately. Either way, I mean, that 13-yard run is one of the few chunk running plays he's had in a while. It's not like he does that on a consistent basis anymore. So if he's not accurate throwing the ball, he's no longer explosive running the ball, he's really a non-factor pre-snap, changing plays, setting the offense, adjusting protection. What's he doing? He's just a nice guy in the locker room? Like, that's not enough for me. Sorry. So there's our thought on Cam Newton. We'll wrap it up with your phone calls on everything after Big Jim Murray's update. First, we want to tell you that here on Monday, everything beyond the board from the weekend is presented. Well, we call them Reentry Mondays, and they're presented by East Boston Savings Bank.
Yep, maybe you're looking to finance a home mortgage, a commercial real estate property, or maybe you're just looking for a free checking account. Visit ebsb.com. That's East Boston Savings Bank. Getting it done since 1848. Here's Murray with the latest in the NFL.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
out of the eye. Newton turns. Play fake to Harris. Cam settles in the pocket. Fires to the far side. Picked off. It's intercepted by Fitzpatrick. Runs across the 45-50. He's hit and dropped by Tooney. Tackled at the 47.5-yard line. Dre Kirkpatrick coming up with his third interception of the season.
Woof. Stare it down a little more. Oh, my God. Predetermined, off the play fake. It's not there. And then not only is it not there, the throw is so poorly thrown that it's to the inside that Bird almost had to get on his, to hump it to get to him to help get him down. There's no pressure. I don't know what he's looking at. Yep. What he's doing.
There's a second interception by Cam Newton. That was a bad one. So Cam Newton to the Patriots as their bridge quarterback, their big free agent quarterback last year. Does he come back? What's the next quarterback look like? That's the big picture question. That's something I think we're going to be talking a lot about here over the next coming months. You know, if not longer, hopefully not longer, but at least certainly the next couple months. That will be your DN Van Lines move around the league. In sports, making moves are tough decisions. When moving your home or business, the decision is simple. Go with my mover, DN Van Lines. They've moved Beetle. They've moved Ted Johnson. They've moved me. We all highly recommend it. DNVanLines.com. Or on the phone, the old-fashioned way, 851-MOVER. Let's grab some final calls here before we get to the final word. Bobby and Rivera, go.
Hello, guys. I was wondering if you three has had an opinion on the following. Forget Cam Newton, Hoyer, and Stidham. I read an article that this quarterback on the practice squad, 6'7 or 6'8, with a very strong arm. Do you know anything about him?
Not one thing.
Me either.
Nope, me neither.
On our practice squad or another team's practice squad? Okay, you have to turn down your radio there, Bobby, or, you know, whatever it takes. Let's just Google, because as I mentioned earlier, you know, there are players on this team I did not know existed. You know, there were a couple of guys that made defensive plays yesterday in the second quarter on that goal line stand that I did not know were on the team. I've never heard of them before or since. I've already forgotten their names. So maybe there's a quarterback on there that I don't know about.
Yeah, Jake DeLagola. Yeah, he's 6'7", sure enough.
Okay, where's he from?
Let's see. Well, he went to St. Francis High. He played college ball at Central Connecticut.
Oh, boy.
He's from the Bengals organization.
Oh, boy. He was number two. Yeah.
What a resume.
Undrafted in 2019, signed with the Bengals, spent the entire season, 2019 season, on the 53-man roster, but didn't appear in any games.
So you're saying he's tall and he has a strong arm.
Yeah.
Bobby, I would not hitch my wagon to that guy. Robert in Worcester. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, I want to... Stidham was in one game this year, right? Is that correct?
Yep.
And he didn't do that well. Cam Newton has been in how many games? 10? And he hasn't done well in any of those games. So do you think Stidham would have completed more than 7 passes last night?
9, but who's counting? So listen, the thing about I don't want to see Stidham unless they think he's the better guy to win that game. I am not in the give-up mode yet, Murray. I'm not playing out the string. I'm not playing someone just to see what we've got for next year, quote-unquote. If they think Stidham gives them a better chance to win on Sunday, I'll play Stidham, no problem. And if you're telling me that you don't think Stidham can complete 9 passes for 84 yards with 3 sacks and 2 interceptions and no touchdowns, like he can't even do that, then you have real problems. Real problems.
Well, so let me ask you this question. And just work with me. What if it's equal? What if Bill looks at them and says, it doesn't improve our chances to win. It's 6-1 with Stidham, half a dozen of the other with Newton. Okay, what's the right move?
Stidham.
Yeah. Okay, so I think so too, which makes me wonder, is there some element in this thing of Bill trying to be loyal to Newton because he lured him on a bad contract, and the guy's got to play to earn his money. And so Bill's saying, you know what, I'm going to keep playing the guy because he deserves his money, and I'm not going to stick it to him by benching him now. So even if we suck, Stidham's not any better, I'm going to ride it out with Doom.
And maybe there's a locker room thing. You know, Newton has felt like a good leader and a good guy and, you know, someone who's feels like he's done most of the right things off the field. Maybe the guys in the locker room would be put off if they bench Cam Newton for a kid in Stidham, who obviously did not, you know, who obviously lost his standing with the team because of how he carried himself off the field. So maybe there's a locker room component as well. I just want them trying to win these games and pushing this as far as they can go. So you play the guy that gives me the best chance to do that. Chris in the car on that very subject. Go ahead, Chris.
Hi, guys. The path. And Mari and Gasper talked about it a little bit this Saturday. And Mari's just like, I love him. His negativity, like the Grinch with the small talk. But, Mari, if they did it because of this Baltimore-Pittsburgh game that's getting pushed to Wednesday, and they added more teams, and the Pats get in because of that, does your grow a little bit more? And we got a chance.
No, my wallet will get lighter, caller, because as I said on Saturday, what I'm going to have to do is put up a billboard that just has a giant asterisk on it with the Patriots colors, because that will be the fakest way possible that they could make the playoffs. If they get in by default, because what happens here, they have to cancel games, so it triggers that clause with the NFL and the Players Association that they have to add the playoff team. Fake. The fakest thing ever.
Okay, so and what Murray's talking about, again, is that's if they go to a week 18, if they start pushing regular season games back to an extra week after the schedule's over, they're going to throw in an eighth playoff team per conference. And you ask why? Maybe to recoup some of the money they've lost by having to push back an extra week, these cheapskate owners. And again, don't get me started on this. So they've postponed the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game now to Wednesday, Murray.
To Wednesday, yes.
What do they propose to do with Baltimore and Pittsburgh's games next week then?
Hell if I know. All the national reporters like Bert Breer are kind of trying to scramble and get that information. Frankly, I give the NFL a lot of credit here. Just hammer through. And I know a lot of people were probably upset that Denver ended up having to play that game yesterday without quarterbacks. But that's on Denver. There was talk in the preseason. There was talk in the preseason about teams keeping one of their quarterbacks away from the rest of the team during practice weeks and even games, right? And what happened with that? Why didn't the Broncos do that? That their quarterback room had one positive and then close contacts. That's on them. The game's got to be played.
So I'm not snickering because of that. The simulcast is throwing up a nice Jim Murray asterisk picture that I think we'll be seeing if the Patriots contend here for the eighth playoff spot. No, I don't mind them really doing that to Denver either, necessarily. I just find it unseemly that, and I know Gasper's hit on this a lot, I think he's onto something. Because people keep asking, why are they so against pushing back the schedule? There's nothing. They have room in all these stadiums. Even the Super Bowl can get pushed back a month or more. And they could own another month of the sports calendar. So why aren't they more eager to push these games back? And Gasper and others have said the operational costs, meaning the testing of the players and the, everything that goes into this. They're not getting any fans in the stands, so there's no revenue to be gained. It's just more cost to stage these games the longer it goes and to keep practices open and buildings open, everything like that. So these cheapskate, fake rich owners, and I think a lot of them are fake rich, by the way, because daddy just handed them the team and they have no money other than what they leverage against the team. Whole nother story. But these cheapskate NFL owners don't want to flip the bill to keep the lights on when no one's in the building, if you know what I mean, Maz. I think Gasper's on to something with that.
Oh, I rule out nothing when it comes to that sort of stuff in the NFL. And I'm amused by the Wednesday night thing, and I was just trying to think it out, that I suppose if they play Wednesday night, it's the equivalent of what Team C on Thanksgiving, like the Lions and the Cowboys, right? They play on Sunday. They have to play on Thursday. They only get 3 days off in between. But I have to believe that's the limit. Like, I can't believe that they would then push the game to Thursday and ask the teams to play again on Sunday. Like, I suppose they're going to have to back up the next week's game either way. Like, it'll be a Tuesday night game or something.
Well, but they each play different teams, you see, Maz.
Well, so they'll back them both up. That's what
so
I'm saying.
So you'll have two games on Tuesday, whoever Pittsburgh plays and whoever Baltimore plays.
Correct.
So I don't know, something like that. Who the hell knows? Meanwhile, can I just give you something that our buddy Boston Sports sent us on Cam Newton, just how historically bad he's been?
Yeah.
Sure.
Quarterbacks in NFL history through the team's first 11 games who have thrown more than 250 pass attempts with less than four touchdowns and more than nine interceptions. Or, four or less, nine or more. You see what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So basically,
yeah.
So this is... you know, every down, every game quarterbacks through their first 11 games to still have the job, basically, is what he's saying, with four or fewer touchdowns and nine or more interceptions. Here's the list. Cam Newton, Chad Henne with the Jags in 2013, Trent Dilfer with the Bucks in 1995.
Oh, my God.
And then something named Jim Nowitzki with the Detroit Lions in 1950. That's it. So what he's basically saying is quarterbacks who play like this don't make it to the 12th game. It's just there's only been three guys in history. Let's leave out the 1950 character, shall we? Oh, only three guys in the Super Bowl era, only three guys in the NFL, AFL history to be this bad through this point of the season. And Cam Newton is on that list with Chad Henne and Trent Dilfer. That's your quarterback.
Oh, great.
And, you know, I Gasper was in a week or two ago. He's like, well, who else do you want? I mean, how do you know you can do better?
It can't get much worse.
Something tells me we can do better than Chad Henne and Trent Dilfer. I mean, I think.
I mean, Mike, you said this earlier, and I know we touched on it earlier in the season. Hoyer is really a better choice if they could just get him to not screw up in the red zone.
Thank you.
Really, Hoyer is a better choice. Hoyer can, I think, lead an NFL offense at least better than this and throw a pass. Like, you know, I look at Newton right now, and I just say that this thing's a borderline disaster.
Okay, Alan in Florida, what do you got for us?
Yeah, first of all, don't knock that New Orleans-Denver game. It's like stealing money. But, I mean, their team total in the second half was 3.5. I went under and won. You know, the Patriots are awfully lucky. If this, they better pray that this coach doesn't get fired this week. This Anthony Lynn does not even have a clue what he's doing on the field. I mean, Mike, you and Maz like to knock baseball players. I saw something yesterday. This is the Jets, 0-88, losing by 20 points. So they intercepted a pass. The whole team is in the end zone doing a dance. Really.
Alan, this all speaks to, as I cut you off, the league is so bad and dysfunctional, you couldn't tank if you tried. You couldn't. The league won. Yesterday was another example. You had no business winning that ball game. Arizona wasn't ready to take it. And I think there's still wins on the board coming your way with that exact same thing. And the Chargers might be another perfect example of it. Just not ready. Rookie quarterback can play, but it just doesn't work with that coach. And so we'll see what that is this week. Dennis in New Hampshire. What do you got, Dennis?
Guys, did Bill find a kicker? Because that kick yesterday was balls. I mean, last year we had a kicker pandemic and the greatest quarterback of all time. This year we have one of the worst quarterbacks we've ever had, and this guy has won us two games.
From out of nowhere. From out of nowhere. Journeyman.
He's been nails for them this year.
So he's a good journeyman, but he's a street guy. That thing was good from 60.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I nailed it.
I had no doubt. I had no doubt he was going to hit that kick.
Because it's just the way it's gone this year, Matt Murray.
Yeah, and he's been really good. Like, I expect him to actually make these kicks, even if it's at, like, 55. He's a completely different guy than he was last year.
Let's wrap it up with Aaron in Wareham on the Julian Edelman story. Go ahead, Aaron.
Yes, I was just wondering, just based on, obviously, Cam's throwing ability outside of Bird, based on Julian Edelman and him coming back to have a slot receiver, and maybe it's a quicker throw, maybe it's a faster transition, you know, yep. Do you think he's going to help?
Yeah. Well, I mean, how does it hurt? I mean, even if Edelman is 75% of Julian Edelman, isn't he better than N'Keal Harry? Anything better than N'Keal Harry at this point? So, yes. Murray, what were those protocols again that you mentioned earlier about, you know, his return?
Oh, right. So now that he's in on the COVID-19 list, by rule, NFL players have to miss 10 days of work once they're placed on it, unless they're asymptomatic and after 5 days can produce two negative COVID tests within 24 hours.
So still an outside chance on that front.
Yeah, he could still play.
He could still make it. Yeah. You know, and I'm sure they all say they're asymptomatic, right? No, I don't. No, fine. There's nothing. I just swallowed an almond, whatever. It's like, no, so they can just say asymptomatic in 5 days and a couple negative tests. So there's still a shot there this week, I guess.
Mike, just quickly, because we mentioned it, we were talking about the Ravens-Steelers game being moved to Wednesday. the both of their subsequent games have been moved to Monday night. So, according to reports on Twitter, the Ravens will play the Cowboys on Monday night, and the Steelers are also going to play on Monday night of next week. So that's how they're going to account for that.
There's going to be three games next Monday night?
There are going to be three games next Monday night. Bills, Niners, Cowboys, Ravens, and Steelers, Redskins.
Spread that out a little bit. Give me a Tuesday nighter. What are we doing?
Well, give it time.
This is true.
We're right, probably getting that, too.
Final word comes your way next.
Boston's home for sports. Fill your nets. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adult is talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nope.
Well, after the long weekend, it was truly a bumpy re-entry Monday here on Felger and Maz, as evidenced by the following clips from today's show. We'll start with this one, Felger butchering Dante Moncrief's name.
Some big returns in this game, which were obviously a factor. And it was the first Pat's touchdown, now that I'm thinking about it, was a Sidney Moncrief. Sidney Moncrief. See what I did there?
Yeah, I saw. It's all right. I know what you mean.
And I didn't even mean to do it. What's the guy's name again?
Dante Moncrief.
Dante Moncrief. For you old Bucks fans, you know what I'm talking about. Dante Moncrief. Finally, they get Gunner the F out of there. And blanked on the guy's name. But it was nice to see someone else returning those kicks.
Yes.
Oh, thank God.
Well, then we also had Maz nearly choking to death during a segment.
You know, no risk it, no biscuit. We're chucking it down the field, and we're going to cover Tyreek Hill one-on-one. So the whole mentality, and excuse me, the whole mentality to me strikes me as very primitive, and it's not very complex.
What is it, those pinto beans you eat, Maz? What
often is the pinto. They're called lupini. They're called lupini beans, but these were not the lupini beans. This was, I during the break, I went up and got a stick of celery, and one of the little strings from the celery got stuck in my throat. Uh-huh. Oh, it was devastating.
Always snacking.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. Hold on now. This happened to Knucklehead here last week. Let's not delude ourselves. Mr. A-hole chair was choked.
I was doing some snacking today myself. I'm not going to deny it. A couple coughs in there.
I just want to make sure we're being fair on that.
And we also had some collar issues as well.
Rich in the car. Oh, Rich, I hit the wrong button. I hit the drop button and not the pick-you-up button, so I'm sorry. Call us back. You know the number. That was my fault. I'll put you right on if you get back. Tom and Quincy, go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I wanted to talk about Brady real quick, if I could.
Yeah, here's Rich in the car. Rich, are you the one that I hung up on?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that.
No problem.
What do you got? So now you're done. You're on the air.
Good.
Jeff and Dudley wants to weigh in on that Belichick comment, pumping up his son. Go ahead, Jeff. What do you got?
Hey, so I was listening earlier, and I heard you guys talking about Belichick's comments about his son, Steve, in the aftermath of the information about Gerard Mayo being considered for positions around the league. And my first thought was, well, what is he doing instead of trying to, you know, give his son some credit? I think he's probably trying to grease it so that, you know, when Mayo was gone.
Oh, my God. So hold on. But between this guy eating and his horrible phone, I just can't make it. Is there anything more disrespectful than that?
Eating bad phone. That is one way to get hung up on quickly.
I like the guy, though. Are you the one that I hang up on? Yep.
We invited you back on just to apologize.
And then pause. Like, all right, is that it? You just wanted to make sure that you... All right, anyway. Well, that'll put a capper on that one. We're back at tomorrow. Speaking of awkward pauses and lip smacking, here comes Greg Bedard.
And eating.
Tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll talk to you guys then. See ya.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.